Raised on D&D Podcast helps to enrich your family's gaming experience by bringing you interviews with parents, educators, game designers, and influencers. Join us as we delve into the many ways that tabletop role-playing games inspire creativity, develop communication skills, and create long-lasting bonds among players. Your host has been an avid gamer since childhood, and now his kids are being raised on D&D. Here is your host, Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. This is a special episode giving you an excerpt from our actual play adventure, The Mirrored Mountain. This is a old school Renaissance module based on the classic Endless Quest book, Mountain of Mirrors by Rose Estes. I'm the dungeon master for this game, and I'm joined by an incredible ensemble of players. First is Daniel Estes of Return to Brookmere on Instagram, playing Roxy, the elf magic user. Next is Derek White, the geek preacher, playing our dwarf, Belarus. Our D&D first edition expert, Bill Sylvie, the dungeon delver, played the human fighter, Brachus. Next is author Medardo Landon Maza Duenis, playing the human thief, Helen. Lastly is RPG miniature painter, Blake McReady, playing the human cleric of Kord, Gorath. Have a listen as we begin our adventure in the elf village that has been cut off from its supply line, and we have to investigate what's going on the mountain pass. A special thank you to Izzy Grimm Creations for creating this old school Renaissance module and allowing us to play it and share it with you today. To obtain your own copy of the Mirrored Mountain module, subscribe to Return to Brookmere's Patreon page and download your copy of the Mirrored Mountain module today. And move their miniatures.
Roxy's all over the place. She's mobile.
Okay. So in the module, the Mirrored Mountain, obviously for copyright purposes, could not name the village or the elder that we're talking to. But if you're fans of Mountain of Mirrors, the Endless Quest book, you know that we are in the village of Aurelia. Am I saying that right, Daniel?
Yeah.
Okay. And we're talking with the chief elder.
I forget his name.
Marik?
Marik.
I'm going to say Marik. Real quick background. You guys are an adventuring group. And you've already been on a successful adventure guarding a caravan. Now, the caravan has taken you to this elven village in the late autumn. The elves were so hospitable and had such good wine that you guys decided to rest a little bit, recuperate from your adventure, spend some of your gold, and are now you're packing up and you're getting ready to leave, actually. The village elder has called the people of the village together. And you know they've had a little supply train trouble since you've been staying here last few weeks. But every time you guys asked about it, the elves seemed to act like it wasn't a big deal that it happened, that the caravans don't, you know, run like a clock. But now the village elder has called everyone together. And he is very somber. He seems very distraught. And he says, as you all know, no caravan has reached us in weeks now. The scouting party we sent out has not returned. And full winter is near upon us, preventing any travel through the mountains. I will not lie. It is a desperate time. And as such, I must ask a desperate favor. I am asking you adventurers to be a second scouting party to not only find out what's happening, but hopefully to come back with food and supplies that we need. We will provide you with a mule and as much food as we can spare. Would you be willing to take on this perilous quest?
You had me at desperate. I'm in.
No other way, of course.
Yes, by cord, we shall discover the source of this scourge.
And rid of it.
It always hurts to help. But I'm willing to get hurt.
Before you set out, we provide you with a mule, some rations, some camping gear, and then the elder comes to you and hands each of you a small red vial.
Ooh.
He says, "These elixirs of healing should help you. I am sorry there isn't much. Our kinsfolk went with the first scouting party and have not returned. We fear the worst. Any of them that you can rescue or revive, please just send them back to the village and we'll be able to take care of them.
You are level best.
Do you guys want to do anything else before you leave the village?
How long ago did the previous party leave?
They've been gone now 2 weeks with no word.
Nick, I don't want to get caught up in a shopping montage. I'm certainly not trying to get off track right off the bat. But there's some basic supplies that I'd like to see if we can get before we head out.
Bill, just list off the supplies that you want real quick, and I'll let you know if any of them are unavailable.
Oil, pythons, 50 feet of rope, flint and tinder, ice axes, crampons,
grappling hook,
thank you, 10-foot poles, I guess since flour probably, it's not real plentiful, how about a bag of fine sand if there's a miller, or even sawdust. Let's see, what else?
Do we need to plan for, is the winter coming in where we need additional clothing or some type of snowshoes, you know, to kind of be prepared for any type of storms?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely some animal skins, mm-hmm. things of that nature, and coal. Coal.
Candles and torches.
Yeah. Candles, torches. Yeah.
A bullseye lantern. Or three.
Yeah.
I have a special request of the village elder. I'd like mm-hmm. to ask him if there's a mirror in the village. Maybe just a little pocket mirror.
They're elves, so everything's ornate. So they get you a handheld mirror with a handle on it. And of course, it's got a silver backing. And it has a relief of leaves on the back.
Okay.
This elf approves.
I pick up a twig of a fallen from a tree. This is a very lovely town, very lovely ladies. I have the eye on one of them. So if I fall over there in the mountains, I want to remember this very beautiful lady and place. So I take the token twig.
Good.
I'm joined to the preparations with the furs, the coal, the oil, the rope. 100% about them.
Terrific. Guys, if you put these items in the chat, either in Zoom or in Roll20, we'll probably be able to keep track of them a little bit better if we put it in the Zoom chat. Yeah. But if you put them in the Zoom chat, all of those items will be considered on your character sheet, okay? And the pony is going to be loaded down with the majority of those items. So just go ahead and put those in the chat, and then you guys will be ready to move out to the mountain.
Yeah. I'll do a list for everybody if you want to.
Sure. Yes,
please.
Since we're good. Okay, I got 50 feet of rope, two things of 50 feet of rope, some spikes, small hammer, oil, lantern, coal, blankets, three 10-foot poles. 10-foot poles. What else are we needing?
Grappling hook or hooks.
Yeah, grappling hook or hooks, crampons. On the oil, since, you know, it's only fair to not just have an endless supply, let's say, you know,
two for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a good count. Okay. Has everybody in their kit, do you all have backpacks?
I'm going to put six backpacks. I'll just put that down. We got six backpacks.
All right. That's fine.
Will that be inclusive of like water skins and flint?
Six water skins. And I'm also going to put
jugs of wine.
I'm also going to put candles down too.
Oh, yeah, good. Candles. Somebody mentioned wine.
One, since we have something to carry it, we're going to go with one cask of wine and one cask of ale, because I'm a dwarf and I'm not going to drink that elven. I don't know what this is rated, so.
Right on. Fair enough. This is a bit of a stretch, Nick, but since we've got a mule and we're going in snow, can we get a sledge?
Ooh.
I mean, we've got all this gear.
Yeah,
they can provide a small wagon on rails.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
However it works.
I would like to name the
jingle
mule.
Jingle bells.
Exactly. I'd like to name the mule Bill in honor of Bill from, I believe it was The Hobbit. Didn't they have a mule named Bill?
That's right. The Lord of the Rings.
It was Bill the Pony.
Yes, Bill. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
I double.
Poor old Bill.
I remember Bill fondly.
Yeah. And I'm a dwarf. I can do mule skinning if we get hungry enough.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Let's also, I'm going to put knives down instead of just daggers. You know what I mean? Knives.
Yeah.
Beans. Cooked pot.
Let's not take food from them.
Okay, I'll just put a cook.
They are going to provide you with some basic meal, trail rations. So they're giving you spare food for you guys to make the journey. It is going to be a couple of days up to the mountain or through the mountain pass.
So we'll say 2 days worth of trail rations each.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, that's what I have in the chat. Open up your chat, and you can look at that. And that's kind of just shared party stuff. There we go.
Do the spellcasters need any material components?
Excellent.
Oh, thank goodness I'm not running a spellcaster.
Not for tonight's adventure.
Okay.
It's going to be difficult enough keeping track of all our supplies. And again, if we were running a multiple session campaign, then we would have all of that stuff mapped out. So
I'll keep track of anything for that, you know,
okay.
In line with the dwarf being the, what do you call it? The kind of like making sure we have all our equipment. So okay. I'll be the guy taking care of the equipment.
That features.
I watched too many Westerns with my dad growing up. You know, you always had that one guy who had to keep track of everything.
If I'm gonna get killed, it's not gonna be for lack of shooting back.
You have been traveling along the mountain pass, and it's been a few days. It's been relatively uneventful. However, air is becoming thinner and colder, and the wind has been picking up in strong gusts. The closer you're getting to the pass. The trail begins to slope upwards, but before it narrows, you notice a commotion ahead. Approximately 100 yards in front of you, commotion is coming down the mountain pass. And what you see is you see two elves that are dressed very similar to the elves from the village, and they are scrambling down the mountain, running for their lives. And they are being pursued by two ogres who are laughing and mocking. The ogres seem to be even toying with them as they are running down the mountain. The ogres are throwing javelins at the fleeing elves. And They are now within about 50 yards of you. And what I would like to do is, this is, we don't have to roll for surprise because the ogres are fixated on their prey. And mm-hmm. so you guys have the drop on the ogres. So what would everyone like to do first?
I am going to throw a spear at one of the ogres. The are these the short and pixie-ish type elves, or are these the tall and willowy Tolkien-like elves?
No, these are your Dungeons and Dragons classic elves.
Then I'm going to throw a spear into the face of the ogre who is closest to me, knowing that I can loft it over the heads of these hapless forest children.
All right. Bill, let's go ahead and get your attack roll.
All right. Let's see here. 17. Ogre wow. meets spear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spear versus large is 1d8, so... This should improve your outlook on life.
Excellent.
Yeah, unless yeah. you're just unless you're an ogre, because you got spear stuck in your face.
Gave him another gave him another nostril there. I want that back, you yellow skinned bastard.
All right.
I've got an idea, and I need some consultation. I have a spell that says haste. Can I help the fleeing elves to hasten their retreat?
Very good idea.
Bill, do you is it a distance thing, or is haste one of those touch spells?
No, haste is it's haste ball, if you will. Basically, you'll hit everything in a radius, and if you don't have crackerjack timing, you might accidentally haste the ogres.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Quick way to get your spear back.
Yeah, don't want it back that fast. let's rely on the nimble feet of the elves and pray to Coralon that they are going to outpace the ogres. At least we've distracted them. Do you have anything else you can shoot at them other than haste memorized?
Shield. Well, here's something that says web.
Oh, hey, is and you're third level, right?
Fifth level.
Yeah. Okay. Holy cats, that'll stretch across between there and there. So yeah, you can drop a web, and if they smack into it, we can just literally walk up and murder their faces.
Again. All right.
Go Spider-Man.
All right.
So does Roxy want to wait till the elves have passed through that area?
Yeah, that did cross my mind. I wouldn't want to catch them in the web. So, yes, when there's...
Bill, how instantaneous is this spell? Is it just a round?
Third, it's going to be 3 segments.
3 seconds.
So three segments, 30 seconds. No, 3 segments, 18 seconds.
Okay. All right. So Roxy can start the spell. And as the elves pass through, you can cast that over the area. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a little marker on your character right here. And it's going to be these lightning bolts, and that's going to signify that you are casting, okay? Nice, so nice, you're nice. Conjuring up, all right? So yes. Bill's gone, Daniel's gone. Who wants to go next?
This is Blake. I can go. So Garoth is going to see Roxy starting to cast, and is going to move up, kind of hugging the rocks here, waiting for the elves to pass, and if the ogres hit the web, Warhammer is to the ready.
All right. Fantastic. All right. And
I was looking to see if I had what my equipment was, if I was using a shield and like a battle axe.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Characters too. Okay.
Looks like you have a crossbow. So your dwarf is a range weapon dwarf.
Okay, cool. Well, then I'm going to get a shot off at one of the ogres with my crossbow.
Fantastic. Go ahead and roll for it. And
Dungeon Master, confound me for being a fool, but that is two segments of casting time on web. So that's 12 seconds, not 18. I apologize.
Well, all right. Thank you.
Even better. Hey.
Ooh. 19.
Yeah. Watch out.
And go ahead and roll for the damage there.
And yeah. What is the damage on a crossbow?
For this, it says 1d6 with no bonuses.
Good lord. How generous.
Yeah. All right. This is going to the first ogre that took the spear to the face.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And the crossbow bolt digs deep into its thigh, and he kind of lets out a howl, and the spear scratches the side of his face, and it slows his run. He's taken his eyes off of the two fleeing elves and has looked up and seen this band of mighty warriors standing in front of him.
You all want right. more of where that came from? Come on over here.
So, Helan, it's your turn.
I will pick up the heels on the mule side to try to run in a diagonal. So this is my plan. The web is over there and the ogres. Now, the elves are coming to us. I am trying to pass the elves, cover them, to make them see call their attention so they see us already and send them back. And going in this line, trying also to take the attention of the ogres. So if they came out of the web, follow me and not the elves.
Okay. So what I want you to do then is click on your character Helan.
Yeah.
And then move the miniature to where you want him to be positioned.
With the mule, how many squares can I run? My plan is run almost like over here. Like, hey, fellows, hey, over here.
I'm. You can
take the attention of the ogres so the elves can flee toward the rest of the company.
The ogres are armed with throwing spears, so getting that close, your rogue is going to be the main target of both ogres. You'll be taking on both ogres single-handedly. Very very heroic.
Let me ask this. Just going in the line, can I call the attention, call the elves, call the attention of those, and continue running up with the mule?
Sure, and with this map here, it's hard to tell, but this is a raised area. I'm going to ping it for you. This is a raised area, so if, and I'll move your miniature just a little bit, if you want to run, say, this way, and be kind of up high above the ogres and kind of draw their attention that way, that'll give you a little more tactical advantage.
That's what I was going to suggest. Take the high ground.
I take it already.
All right. Fantastic. So you start shouting, look over here, ogres, and definitely are drawing their attention. All right. So that is our surprise round. Now we're going to actually roll for initiative. The way this works is instead of rolling for initiative individually, we roll as a group. So I'm going to roll for the elves that are fleeing first, and they got a 4. I'm going to roll for the ogres that got a 6. And then I'm going to roll for the heroes, which got a 2. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So the ogres are going to go first. This first ogre up front with his javelins has taken some injury. He is hurt and enraged, and he is going to Oh, they've already thrown their javelins away towards the elves. And so as they are running, this one is going to pick up his club and he is going to charge forward and attack this elf here. Now, the ogres have rolled a 6, and so that's going to be a miss. He swings his great club at the elf in the back of the running line and swings over his head, the elf ducking and covering his head and kind of screeching as he runs forward. The second ogre is going to throw the javelin at Helan.
Ooh,
that's an 18, Helan.
Okay, I get it.
Stick around.
Let's see, and that is going to be...
That's going to be not good.
That's going to be not good.
Javelin is, I think, 1d6.
Okay. All right.
Down from the mule.
It might scratch you. Yeah, look at
there,
that.
There, all right. So as our rogue is waving his arms, over here, ogres, over here, the ogre throws his javelin, scratching his bicep, cutting it for 1 hit point. And
wow. Yeah.
Now it is the elves. So the elves are going to pass the point. They're running towards the heroes.
As this guy runs, I kind of grab him and swing him maybe towards this rock embankment.
Okay. Kind of sling him out of the way. And Roxy, your magical web.
Is it ready to cast?
About to go off.
Yeah.
Okay. Gonna go ahead and mark here on the map where that web is going. So Roxy, does Roxy say something archaic or elven as she...
Or musical, Roxy.
Yeah, she does. She something low and mysterious. that can be heard on the wind. Brings a cold shiver.
Excellent.
To all who hear.
When the web comes up, I'm gonna yell as loud as I can. Good going, Roxy. I bet those stupid ogres don't even realize that's an illusion that they can just run through.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Excellent. All right. And let's see. So it is the hero's turn. Roxy's spell goes off. The webs are in the little ravine area. These magical spider webs cover the ravine. Who wants to go next?
I'm going to wait to see if we had a big big ogre sized impression in the webs, and wait to see what happens.
Yeah, Goreth is also going to wait.
Okay.
And our thief is really well positioned up high.
Yep.
I have a question. The javelin. Pass right by my arm. Is too far or near in the snow or near on a tree to pick it up and throw it back?
We'll say the javelin's right behind you, so you can grab the large size javelin and try and throw it back at the ogre.
If it's possible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I do it.
All right. Terrific. And which ogre did you want to throw it at? Did you want to throw it at the first one?
The first one.
So go ahead and roll a d20 for me.
There.
Nice. We are there's on nice. Fire tonight. Hopefully, just metaphorically.
Let's see. And it looks like we got 6 points of damage. We got all excited, but let's roll the d4 and see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go. All right. So we're gonna go ahead. We're gonna keep the D6 because the rogue is just so angry and infuriated by a scratch on his arm. Gives it a little more force, but moving forward, we'll know the javelins when we throw them are only a d4. And so, this first ogre who's taken the crossbow bolts and the javelins and the spears, he is getting really beat up, and he is almost to about half hit points. So he takes the spear for a massive amount of damage, and it sticks in him. He lets out a horrible howl, and he starts to turn around, because not all monsters fight to the death. All right. So before he gets caught in the web, he starts to turn and run, but his buddy is not as clever. So just so we're sure, Bill, Blake, and Derek, you're all holding for the second ogre to get caught in the web?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm actually reloading my crossbow because I think that takes, I can't remember what the reload time is, but I think that takes 1 to 2 segments.
Okay. The ogre is going, does the ogre get a save versus the spell like you guys would if someone casts a spell on you?
It's a little weird with web. It's DM's call. You could just say, hey, he makes a save and, you know, just pushes through or whatever. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, when it comes to web, I think it's like if you do make it, you are trapped for less time. If you don't make it, you're trapped for a really long time. But let me...
And that is a D20 roll, right?
Yes, it is.
All right.
So...
See, Ogre's going to roll a 16 on his save versus the spell.
So saving throw is negates or 1/4, I think that is. So basically, depending on where you think he is when he needs to make that save, Nick, he either completely avoids the web or is only stuck in them for 1/4 the amount of time he would be.
Okay. Well, we are definitely going... He is charging head forward. He is enraged. He's watching the other ogre spin on his heels to turn, and he runs right into the web. So I'm going to set a little or segment counter here for how long he's stuck, which you guys won't know until he breaks free. But for the moment, he is... in the webbing, and he's kind of shocked and confused, and he's looking around, and then over his shoulder he sees his buddy start heading back up the mountain.
One other thing, Nick. There is a 5% chance that he will suck webbing into his mouth and nose and suffocate dead.
Okay. Well, let's not be that. So that's percentile dice.
And that is percentile.
If I roll 5 or under, 5 or under, also suffocating.
Yep.
Oh, that's a 40. Okay. So but close.
That is a check. It's either every turn or every round.
That he's stuck in the web.
That he is stuck in the web. That he could suffocate.
All right.
Yes. That's web awesome. Can be an instant death spell.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you guys, even though this, I don't think this edition really lets you hold your action. Bill, Derek, and Blake, you guys can go ahead and do what you're going to do now that the ogre is stuck in the web.
I'm going to move. Where am I? I am going to move up, clap the thief on the shoulder. Good job. Clamber back down, and do I see my spear lying over here anywhere?
Yes.
I'm just going to grab it and go ham on this guy's back.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and get that attack roll.
All right. And it's up to you, but given that he's immobilized, I at the very least would be getting a +4, but that's your call.
Yeah, that sounds fair to me. He is trapped. All right. Almost suffocating. 16 will hit. Go ahead and roll the damage on that.
There's 5.
Wow. Now this is the fresh ogre, but the spear digs deep into his back. Gorath, the cleric, what would you like to do?
Gorath was thinking of smashing him through the web, but not wanting to have his warhammer stuck in the web, you will also...
If you melee with a short weapon, you'll get caught in the web.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. So, warhammer.
Blake, so that means roll the damage.
Smashing with a 5.
Yes.
Nice.
The wrath of
that God. Is another 5 damage. All
I'll
right.
Hold my spear, and you can hit it with your mace, and technically, you're not using an edged weapon then, and just drive it into him like a pole into the
that's
earth.
That's right.
So the cleric's back there hammering away at the ogre, and Derek, is your crossbow ready for another shot?
Yeah, it should be. I think it's supposed to take like 5 seconds, so it should be ready for another shot.
All right.
So let's go over here and see what we get.
With the +4, and he's mobile, so immobilized, so he should hit, and go ahead and roll the damage.
Nice.
Good, good, good. Bringing him down some more. All right, he's still up, so... Would our rogue like to engage in this combat since you've got the high ground?
Yes.
You're gonna come down here and stab him?
I'm afraid to get caught in the web. And the fleeing ogre, I have the hope rather wounded. Perhaps not, but praying to the four winds, I will slope down the mule to run back from the ogre, hit him with my mace, and continue the running in a line just like this one, like hit, running, strike, running.
Do you want to use your dagger or are you using your mace for this maneuver?
You know what? I will use my dagger.
Okay.
I love my dagger. I will use my dagger. You're right. You're right, Nick. That's why I bring it. Okay. I will stop that bastard and continue my riding, praying to the four winds that will suffice, adding to the damage. He get it.
So let's have Elin roll a d20 for the attack.
Okay. Okay.
With the +4 makes it a 16. So that'll be plenty. And then for damage, what are we looking at for the dagger? I think it's dagger
v large.
I suppose D4.
That is, looks a 1d4.
It's a D3 versus large.
Okay.
D3?
That's okay. So it's a D4 minus 1. That's all right. That's
okay.
3 more points of damage. And the slash of the dagger across the back of the ogre, he kind of falls forward in the snow, and now he's on all fours trying to get back up on his feet. Go ahead.
A question, Nick. That counts like Sparkster?
So that but 3 points of damage could be 6 points of damage, or
potentially
maybe
9. But I don't think. Let me see.
I love my dagger.
He loves his dagger. There are many like it, but this one is his.
My hit. Okay. That's right.
So he actually is just over the threshold at 5th level. That is triple damage. That's 9.
Yes, 9 damage. This ogre is on all fours in the snow. He is bleeding badly. He's howling, and he's trying to scramble back to his feet, and he can't get there just yet. We're back to the top of the order, so it is the ogres again. This guy is at half speed, crawling up the mountain, and this guy is trying to break free. Let's see if he chokes to death on webbing. Give me 1 second.
Come on.
Ah, 25, getting closer. Getting closer. To choking to death on the webbing. All right. And
all over your face.
And it's back to the heroes. So, Roxy, you've cast one spell. What would you like to do?
All right, so let's see. Roxy's right here. Roxy's only got a dagger. Maybe Roxy could climb up above the ogre and toss a boulder down on it.
Okay.
Why not? So,
are you going to go up?
Roxy is going to scramble up this this cliff on the left-hand side and push a boulder over on the ogre.
Okay. All right. It's a 12. And with an 8, I believe you have a minus 1 to your strength. So it gives us 11, but you only need like a 10 to push this rock over. So so you are rolling the rock. Go ahead.
Yes,
and
go
so Daniel, go ahead and roll us a D4 as that boulder starts rolling down the hill towards the ogre in the webbing.
Nice. Okay, here we go. Whoops, hold on. D4.
Excellent. 2 more points of damage. And as the boulder rolls across the field here and smacks into the ogre's leg, he is in bad shape.
Can I shank him again?
Yes. Go ahead.
I want that on my t-shirt. Can I shank him again?
Oh, I should put that on some merch. I should put that on my next round of merch.
So, Bill, roll an attack for me, just so we don't roll a critical fumble. He's still immobile, so as long as we don't roll a 1, it's still a hit. Go ahead and roll the damage for me. Excellent. 6 more points of damage. This is actually going to... Oh, nope. He's got a couple of hit points left.
Goreth can finish this off.
All right, go right ahead.
Swing with the Warhammer.
All right. And let's see that damage.
15.
When I see the Padre rear back, I'm going to say, Beastie, have your brains ever seen the light of day?
And Goreth, that's a hit. Go ahead and roll your damage. That's more than enough. This is the killing blow.
Oh,
Blake,
yeah.
how do you want to describe the ogre's demise?
Gallagher the head.
All right. Braxis puts on his plastic poncho, holds it up because he's in the splash zone, and ogre brain nuggets go everywhere. And
you put the patented pie plate under his chin first.
the dwarf sees that's some good eating. Don't waste that. Helen, your original victim is crawling away, and you have the opportunity to get an attack in. Do you want to chase him down?
I hesitate a little moment because seeing him growling away is rather pitiful. Yeah, and it's not the same killing that dog in the middle of the fray than just assassinating him trying to escape away. And I want to escape away once short from the battle, but I look back to see the elves fleeing. And if these ogres are messing with these elves, they are involved with a problem with Aralia. And the elf girl I liked is in trouble because of that. So I side and I charge with a mule and try to stab and end it. Not feeling very proud, but that's the way it is.
Go ahead and roll a d20 just to make sure that we don't fumble.
Yes, Ivy.
You had one job. You had... one job.
Helen, in his thoughts and in his rage, thinking of the beautiful elf girl starving to death in her village, having to turn to cannibalism and eat the old kind elder, flies into a rage and chases after the fleeing ogre, leaps on him with his dagger raised high, and just kind of lands on his back, kind of belly flops, and you're kind of cheek to cheek with the ogre, kind of sprawled out on his back. and the ogre goes,
let me live.
And he's trying to get up and trying to get away from you. The ogre is going to stand up, and Helid is going to slide down the ogre's back, and the ogre is going to try to flee on his turn off the map. And he is getting very close to the edge of the map. The two elves have fallen exhausted just behind the dwarf and are looking back, seeing the one dead ogre, the fleeing second ogre, and are breathing a sigh of relief. Heroes, it's back to you. So the ogre is almost off the map. Who wants to chase after him?
Nick, I'm going to charge with a capital C. Do I get a charging bonus? Do I get the plus two charging bonus?
The snow is kind of thick, but this is the normal trail. So I'm going to say, yes, you can get a charging bonus for...
Yank my spear out of the back of this one and turn around and bellow at the ogre. I can't wait to hear you scream the same way your brother screamed when I stuck him. And does this count as a rear attack also, Nick?
Yes.
So that's a total of 1d20 plus 6. 22. Mm-hmm.
22. Wow, nice. And let's go ahead and roll the damage. Oh, that's more than enough to finish this ogre. So as Brachus runs up on him, go ahead, Bill, and describe this ogre's demise.
I have turned this ogre into two half-ogres. I ramp a spear through his back, out his chest, and just wait for him to twitch for a minute, give it a little bit of a shake, and then pull it out.
The ogre opens his mouth and sprays blood anime style and then collapses into the snow. The ogres are dead and nice. Both elves are saved, which this module did not expect you to do. Yeah. So,
and turned out a lot better than it did in the book.
Yes.
So, a whole lot better. all right. So we're out of combat. What would you guys like to do?
I am going through this thing's bag or pouch. I'm looking for loot.
Okay.
Going back to the elves.
Okay.
I joined that. Stand up, taking out the snow, looking the ogre down, and I also joined to hear about the elves. If they are right, and what about them?
Okay.
I'm going to make sure that the mule and supplies are safe, make sure my crossbow's reloaded, and keep an eye out for anything else that may come up.
Good.
As the thief departs, I say that, by the way, it great technique. What was that, a breaststroke onto the ogre's back? Was that a crawl? A dog pedal? You'll have to show me that sometime.
Breaststroke. That stands for breaststroke.
Of course.
Streaming ogres.
And I'm going to check with my fellow elves to see how they are.
Bill, as you're searching one of the ogre bodies, go mm-hmm. ahead and roll a 2d6 for me. Roxy, cool. do you dissipate the webbings? Do you erase the webbing?
Do I need to cast it again?
No. Just to clear it so no one else gets stuck in it.
Yeah, I can see that two party members are still behind it. So I do.
Okay. And we're going to put big X's on these ogres to signify that they are, in fact...
Splattered.
Boom. Okay. All right. The rest of the group is heading back to the elves. 2d6, 4. So, Bill, you find 4 gems. They are precious gems. Sapphire, ruby, diamond, and a second sapphire.
Okay.
The rest of you get back to the two elves. The two elves are panting in the snow, trying to catch their breaths. They are extremely exhausted. They seem to be relieved and very grateful to the party. So what do you want to ask them?
Well, I want to offer them some wine first. Mm-hmm. You look parched. Have some wine.
That's what I was going to say.
The first one takes a sip from the wineskin and he goes, this tastes just like the wine from home. And he looks up and he goes, wait, you're the visitors, the caravan guards who are staying in our village. What has happened? Is everyone okay?
Are you? Where are the others? What happened with the other with the caravans?
The pass is closed. these ogres, they're servants to this frost giant and his pet dragon. They've taken the mountain. The rest of us, great elven warriors, we didn't stand a chance. We were ambushed. They were taken. Many of us killed, but the rest were dragged into the mountain. We don't know what for.
Dragon, you said?
A white ice breather.
One other thing, Nick. The other ogre, did he have anything on him?
Sure. The other ogre has a map. The map shows a narrow trail around a deep ravine on the side of the mountain. It seems to be the normal mountain pass, but there's a strange marking on the far end of it. It might indicate perhaps a secret door.
Okay. Well, that's definitely good to know. Mm-hmm. To these shell-shocked elves, I'm going to give each of them a bit of cord with an ogre ear on each and hand them one of the sapphires and say, you weren't defeated. You held the pass till we got here. Mm-hmm. You show that back in the town, you won't have to buy your own drinks for the next 20 seasons.
Mm-hmm. The second elf takes the ogre ears and the sapphire from you, and he says, thank you. Unfortunately, this won't feed anyone back in the village, and it won't rescue our compatriots.
Look, you held the line, and now we're passing through. Don't worry about it. And I clap him on the shoulder.
The first elf that you guys were talking to is giving you kind of some intel on the mountain. He stands up. He says, I'm Halleck, a warrior of the village, and I cannot return home knowing that everyone will just starve. I'm coming with you.
Nice.
The other elf says, my name is Olmus, and I will definitely return to the village and let them know that you guys are trying to rescue the others. And let them know that we have defeated two ogres and hopefully many more to come.
That's right, Olmus. You let him right into our trap. There's a good lad. Now, listen, I'm going to take a piece of charcoal and a bit of parchment and basically just kind of outline everything that's happened, that we have a map, that we've made it as far as we have, and this guy, we're sending him back as a runner.
Okay.
And the dragon and the giant.
Oh, yeah. All that'll get mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Done. And I'll say to Halleck, this is your fight as much as it is, if not more than ours. You are most welcome to join us.
Gather up those ogre javelins. You good with a spear, Halleck?
Yes. Yes, I can work my way around a spear. You see, my fiance back in the village, I the image of her starving and turning to cannibalism and having to eat the elder, I just couldn't stand it. He starts to describe the girl, and it's the girl the rogue is in love with.
That's what I suppose. And I just signed and Lucas don't.
We'll get you back to the village, girl rogue.
Halleck has decided to come with you, and so he is your kind of like hireling for this adventure, which also, if one of you dies, it means that you can take over Halleck's character sheet and continue with us. All right. So are we ready to move to the pass?
We are.
What time of day is it, Dungeon Master?
By this time, it is about mid-afternoon. The sun is already starting to sink behind the mountains.
Let's press on.
Yeah. Moving in the dark may actually be to our advantage. What's the weather like? I mean, it's cold. There's snow on the ground, but
it's windy and gussy, and the cold, the temperature is dropping rapidly as you approach the higher parts of the mountain pass.
All right, the fellow that's going back down the mountain, I'm gonna give him a skin of wine and one of my days of rations. I'll tell him, look, it's a 2-day hike down from here, so you'll have to make this last.
He wraps up in heavy blankets, gratefully takes the rations, and he says, "I am swift." And once my strength is returned, I'll be able to run across the snow.
There's a good lad.
Do the yokes have any furs? Something I might be able to take.
We'll hollow out one of the ogres and make a shelter.
I did cross my mind.
We're going to tauntaun this thing.
Yes. Wow. It's early in the day, though, so I think I'll look for a fur.
So the ogres have disgusting fur kilts. One side is more soiled than the other. However, if any of you are good at skinning animals, they have quite a bit of fur on their forearms and their and their legs and their beards and their hair that would make a nice
and blankets.
So Roxy, do you want to scalp these ogres?
Yeah. Roxy takes her dagger.
Uh-huh.
And she scalps one of the ogres, something big enough to make a hat.
Excellent. All right.
An ogre for a cap.
And so the ogres are left in the snow. And are you guys camping or are you heading straight for the pass?
Let's camp.
I think we want to camp. Yeah.
Oh, do we?
All right. Well, camp it is.
Okay.
Derek, a little bit further from the side of the
Derek was
battle.
The dwarf to side.
I think Medardo is saying what I was thinking, is that it would not be good to camp here where we just had a battle. I think we should move along a little ways, maybe into some trees or something, and get off any main path to camp.
Okay.
And we'll be out of the wind up there too.
Press on as well.
But the dwarf, with his understanding of geology, is able to find a nice rock area to protect you from the wind, and you guys are able to make a camp and eat a small fire that won't draw too much attention. The night goes uneventful. Halleck goes into more detail about their ambush, about how the pass has been closed, and tells you of the terrors he can only guess are waiting for you on the mountain.
Can Halleck tell us anything more about the giant?
Only that he is a frost giant, about 15, maybe 16 feet tall. And the dragon he is not an expert in dragons, but it almost looks as if it's not quite fully adult yet. And the dragon seems to be training it almost like an attack dog.
Did the giant speak his name?
He did not, but he did command the ogres and he directed the action.
I think he's called Isdur.
I think we're going to call him Rug in front of the fireplace by the time this adventure's over. So let's all get some rest and get up the side of this mountain in the morning.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Raised on D&D Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow on all your favorite apps and social media.